Y'all ever watched Overtime at the Nutcracker?
You're going to have that March Madness happen in December.
2 miles long, 1 inch deep.
Welcome back to another episode of the Southern Football Report, presented by Rivertown Running. So, we missed last week. This is a two-week edition of the Southern Football Report, which, you know, we didn't miss any games or anything, and we've still got time to talk about what was and what is to come. This morning, we're dealing with, you know, just like recovery from, you know, sickness last week. Maybe somebody's sick this week. Maybe not in this room, but
hopefully not in this room.
You know, just all around.
We'll know in 24 hours.
It's just that time of year, I guess. Thank you so much for tuning in to this 2 week edition of the Southern Football Report presented by Rivertown Running. As we do each week, we'll start with an introduction, and directly across from me at high noon once again, staring me down, the Snake Man from Mitchell County, Brian Wynn.
Good morning.
Is it a good morning?
Yes, I'm vertical.
Okay, all right. To his right, and probably I guess at around 10 o'clock, I've got Kyle Shaver. Kyle, how you doing, man?
We're here.
Man, you guys came prepared with laptops and, you know, you got this whole...
I got a few notes on here.
Yeah. And then at 9 o'clock to my left, I've got Brian Howell.
Good morning. How y'all?
Good morning. by the way, guys, just a little heads up. This thing's getting some traction.
All right.
We're being listened to in college towns across the country, including multiple downloads in Athens, and which is good news. They're probably taking some tips and some pointers from us.
They're blaring it on the PA in the facility.
If you say the wrong thing, it's going to be on the bulletin board. Okay. So, you know, if you need to encourage the guys or anything like that, this is your opportunity.
We can get them going.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's just dive right on in as we do each week. We'll start with a little bit of a review of the championship games from, I guess now, almost 2 weeks ago. As a matter of fact, if you're listening to this on the radio on Saturday morning, then it has been almost 2 weeks since the championship games. Let's start with, let's save the SEC championship game. Let's start with the Big Ten championship game where Penn State, you know, pretty much goes blow to blow with Oregon. Oregon comes out on top, scoring 45 points, winning that game 45-37. What stands out to you about that game?
I was impressed with Penn State. Just that they were able to continue to hang in there with them. I thought Oregon may be close for a bit, and then they take over. But I was impressed with Penn State's fight and really had a chance there. I mean, end of the fourth quarter, it was still a ball game. Mm-hmm. So.
Does that say anything about Penn State in the playoff?
It may.
I think it's getting hard to play defense late in the year.
Yeah, I think it just says a lot about their team just in general, just that they got more fight than I would probably. They were on my overrated a lot this year.
Yeah.
And I think everybody was that way, you know, just across the country. But they impressed me in the championship game for sure.
Dylan Gabriel's really good.
Well, he's the most experienced quarterback in college football history.
Yeah, I mean, is he older than Stetson was?
Number of games started. He's got like 61 starts or something like that in college football.
Well, you can tell it because he makes quick decisions and he gets it out, man.
They're going to beat SMU like a drum.
Penn State?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I don't know, man. I was impressed with SMU. I mean, they had an opportunity to fold in that game and they didn't. Yeah. They came back. And then, of course, you know, Clemson kind of avenges that South Carolina loss in a similar fashion where Clemson goes down there and this time is able to kick the game-winning field goal.
That thing almost got away from them.
You're talking about SMU.
Clemson almost lost control of that game.
Oh, yeah. Well.
It was, I don't know, man. They kind of own the second half. They're fast. SMU's got a lot of speed on that team.
SMU took like 20 offensive and defensive line transfers.
Yeah.
Before the season. And in order to, I mean, Rhett Lashley said that they needed to beef up the offensive and defensive lines to move up to play in the ACC. And they did. They went undefeated in conference play until that conference championship game.
Well, don't they got some quarterback issues at SMU? Mm-mm.
No, they swapped to a seasoned quarterback about 3 or 4 games into the season. And he's been great up to this point.
But the other guy's leaving now, right? The one that was
I can't keep up with that.
Yeah, that's a cluster.
Yeah, I heard there's some drama there.
Your backup leaving in playoff time is not ideal.
Mm.
But that's happened. That's happened in a lot of places.
But they have no choice.
They got no choice.
The spots are filling up, so they gotta make a move now.
They got a better rent check coming somewhere else.
Yeah, Penn State's guy is actually a player. I mean, he gets
backup
in
quarterback. Yeah,
yeah, he's gone.
Yeah,
yeah. They could just put 44 at quarterback, and I mean,
yeah.
I think if they'd have done that more throughout the season, they might have. I mean, of course, it's hard to argue with their season. They're in the playoff, and here they are, you know, poised. Like Brian Wynn said, I mean, they've got a good matchup with SMU. I think that's going to be a fun game to watch. Let's look at real quick. You may or may not have watched it, the Big 12 championship game. Arizona State just ran away with that one, literally.
Yeah, 45-19, is that what the score was?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is probably the second best running back in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, he is really good.
I think he might be the second best player in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, behind Jenty.
Behind Jenty.
Yeah.
And his workload's been incredible, like 30 carries.
Yeah.
Weekly.
Well, like Herschel said, that ball ain't heavy.
Yeah.
That's right.
You hardly see him make it through the year, though, man.
Yeah.
I mean, not unscathed.
That it was impressive to see, you know, because they're 15 versus 16, rankings-wise, they were – virtually the same, and it was no contest from the beginning.
Arizona State's playing with house money. They're on fire. They've got a good running back. I think they believe in their coach. Obviously, Kenny Dillingham is a young coach, so he's not experienced when it comes to these big games, and that may play a factor down the line. You know, if they have to, if they match up against somebody that's got just, you know, like Kirby. I mean, if you look at the number of big games that Kirby Smart has coached in, both as an assistant and as a head coach, I mean, it just blows everybody else away. I mean, if you look at, I mean, how many times has Kirby Smart coached in an either playoff or championship game?
Oh, a lot.
Hundreds.
I mean, from his time at Alabama to now at Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
You compare that to the resume of somebody like Kenny Dillingham.
He's been in it since Valdosta State days.
Well, that's true.
I mean, they kicked tail there. He's been in high-pressure games since right at the gate.
I hadn't thought about Valdosta State, but you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he was at Florida State.
Florida State.
He was at Florida State. Then he was at, of course, Alabama.
The only time he wasn't was Miami.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, 1 year in the pros.
Yeah, in the pros.
Yeah.
They didn't get Drew Brees, man.
Yeah, if they'd have got who Saban wanted, he'd probably still be there. How much would that have changed the landscape of college football?
There needs to be a podcast about that.
Yeah.
Somebody would have got the energy. Somebody would have been a rooster.
Yeah.
Might not have been Alabama.
Somebody would have stepped up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Nick Saban not only changed the landscape of college football, he changed the direction of the SEC. Like, it was Urban Meyer in Florida at that time, and there had been a couple of SEC teams like LSU in 03, you know, that were pretty good. But when, you know, Urban Meyer kind of took over things for three or four seasons at Florida, and then Nick really just took it to the stratosphere.
Yeah.
I mean, that stretch.
Well, and forced everybody else in the conference to catch up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he had the one bad year in 07, and then it was off to the races.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we probably don't see Cam Newton at Auburn if Nick Saban's not at Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know where we would have seen Cam Newton. He'd left that. I mean, if he'd stayed at Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know.
That caused Meyer to have a heart attack and retire.
Is that what it was?
That quarterback room.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the entire roster.
Yeah.
There is a 30 for 30 about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were talking about these hot teams. You know, you've got Arizona State. You've got SMU kind of coming in. Mm-hmm. You got Clemson's kind of a hot team. They've had that big win there to get them in late. It's kind of like Major League Baseball. This time off, what has it done to the momentum? What has it done to the confidence? What, you know, a lot of time between playing those games 2 weeks ago and what happens this Saturday.
Well, and see, some of those teams aren't playing this Saturday,
right?
Like Arizona State.
Arizona State is
by Oregon, by Georgia, by
and Boise
by. But the you got SMU, right? Clemson's playing this week against Texas. You got teams that needed that momentum to continue. And it 2 weeks off.
It's probably better for them to go ahead and play.
I would think so. If you can, just to kind of ride that. Now, baseball and football are different, but you kind of ride the momentum as long as you can. You want that hot team to stay hot.
How about, yeah. I also think it's in football, you do benefit from the time off if somebody's banged up or hurt or whatever. But
yeah,
Arizona State doesn't play till New Year's Day. And we'll see, you know, if that time off helps or hurts them.
It's all fun until it turns into work.
Yeah. Well, it's work right now.
It's work.
Yeah. I mean, those the teams that are playing this week that were in conference championships, they got no time off.
If they if you lose the conference championship, that's a bad deal.
Yeah. I mean, Texas needed to be off as bad as Georgia did. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of that game, they were basically fighting for who's going to get seven more days.
Yep. Rolling from game to game when I play sports is easy. But when it turned into works, when you got dead weeks, it's mentally tough to get yourself ready when you got 2 to 3 weeks to get ready for a game. It's the same difference of what you're doing there in the summertime. And, you know, in the summer is when you win your national championships. It's not our state, whatever
right.
you're doing. It's stuff you do and it's dead time.
Do you think playing for a championship, though, knowing that that's what's next, keeps you motivated?
At this point, these guys are so tired. No, I wouldn't think so. Mm. They're just trying to survive.
I think it might carry you through 2 weeks, but man, five.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think they would love it. All of them, they wouldn't be in there. But I don't care what nobody says. It's like a surgeon that's on week 12 and not a day off. He's sick of it. It don't matter. He's making $5 million a year.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think that probably applies to the coaches as much as it does the players.
In this point in leadership, it don't matter if it's in corporate or what. When you're in these hard stretches, these hard sprints, it's the coaches and the leaders keeping everybody on task, even though in hiding they're
crying in
they're
the corner.
Crying, they're yeah. crying. The only person they crying to is their wife on pillow time at night. You know what I mean?
And she don't
they
might
not, and she don't give it.
They might not get
all she wants is that Botox and that check.
They may not get that with the portal and with
they're sleeping at the office.
NIL.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we were talking about in the group chat recently is the amount of time that these coaches are putting in, like 16-hour days during the season just to prep for Saturday. And now they're prepping for Saturday and fighting the portal. They're trying to close out a recruiting class. They've got guys that are saying, look, I want more money, so I'm entering the transfer portal, and they need that dude.
Yeah.
Whether he's a backup on this year's team or whether he's an expected contributor on next year's team. And as a person, I do best when I can focus. I struggle when I have to spread my focus over multiple mm-hmm. things. If you let me focus on, all right now I'm working on this. Don't ask me about that. I'll talk to you about that when I'm done with this.
They don't have that luxury.
They don't have that luxury.
Which is also a little bit of the benefit of getting that bye that we hadn't talked about before is those teams that have the bye, right, they have a little bit more wiggle room to focus on recruiting those guys, those transfers, recruiting your own roster to make sure they all stay.
Yeah, I think they went to an every other day practice for that week, didn't they?
They were off for several. I think in Athens, they were off for several days.
Yeah.
Didn't come back till like maybe yesterday, day before yesterday.
I've heard him say he doesn't like to spend too much time on a game. Like,
you can beat it to
not
death.
Not more than a week.
Kirby?
Yeah, so they don't know who the opponent is right now. So they're working on a little bit of both, but they won't drill into the opponent until it's a game
week. I mean, these guys they're wired to get the players are wired to learn about a game plan, you know, on Sunday, work that game plan to a Thursday, Friday, travel day, whatever, and then play the game. Mm-hmm. That's just how they're wired. If you give them 2 weeks to focus on the same team, that's too much time.
Start out thinking yourself.
Yeah, you get, you know, it's not the same. There's no urgency, right, for that first week.
I guarantee you, though, there's somebody in Athens. There might be like five somebodies in Athens that their only job the last week has been to focus on Indiana. Mm-hmm. And then there's five somebodies over here.
Oh, for sure.
That their only job has been to focus on Notre Dame.
That's my dad's role at Central, right? He does a lot of stuff, but advanced scouting's his thing. So, like, we're playing this week. Let's say we're playing Lee County. Well, next week we're playing Houston County. He ain't worried about, during the day, he's not worried about Lee County. For him, that's done. That was done last week. He's focused during the vast majority of his day is spent on the next week's opponent, right? Mm-hmm. And then during practice time, you'll focus on the team you're playing. But then right back after that, you're right back into the next week, right? Because you're trying to get prepared for the following. And you're right, they probably got teams of people. Yeah.
That's at the high school level.
That's at the high school level.
At the
college level, they've got several analysts and several GAs focused on Indiana or Notre Dame in Georgia's case.
Yeah. Speaking of Georgia, that SEC championship game, what was the deal with Will Muschamp putting on the headset at halftime? I mean, can you just do that? You just demote somebody from the field? And
well, he's been paid all year. He just hadn't been there.
But is he an on-field coach in that situation?
Everybody can be an on-field. NCAA changed the rule this year. There's no limit.
Okay. Have y'all ever watched overtime at the Nutcracker? That's what I did.
No, that's a good name for having to watch it.
I walked in there with 2 minutes left, and luckily a guy behind me had an iPad, and I had my phone hid in my jacket, and Rachel kept giving me death stares. But that's how I watched overtime.
Oh, boy, that's brutal.
And apparently it's going to be every year because that's the weekend for the Nutcracker.
Well, don't get the same shape as your pa-in-law out there building a dang treehouse.
Oh, yeah, for real.
What is this story?
When he went to the Iron Bowl the day after his daughter was born.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then he had to give Bama football up for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
He had to reprioritize his life, like 1993. But, this is the one where they won the title in 92, and he was on the wagon hard and just basically shucked all responsibility for the Tide, and then he had to pay for it the next year.
Oh, but man.
It could happen to you quick.
Yeah. I've had to take a step back personally. I mean, I do this for a living, so I can't take too much of a step back. But there have been seasons, this is one of them, where my team was just awful. And as much as I want to support my team and not be a fair weather fan and all the things, like, there is absolutely nothing I can do about that football game on Saturday. And when I let it ruin my mood Saturday night, Sunday, Monday, you can't control it. So you can't really care about it that much.
Mm-hmm. Who's the guy that poisoned the trees?
Yeah.
He said, I got too much Bama in me.
Yeah. He does.
You get it in you and you just can't give it up.
Well, what'd they do to that cat?
He's dead.
Not because of that.
Not because of that.
He gets some poison on him.
I think he went to jail, but he died.
He was a former state trooper.
Yeah.
Wow.
He didn't do a good job of covering his tracks.
He should have just had a coffee cup, man, like he was drinking coffee and pouring it out.
I think he would have got away with it, but he confessed on the air on the
He wanted to go down as a legend.
He did. We're talking about him right now.
From Clanton or something like that.
I don't remember where he was from. Yeah. We know his name. Yeah.
Best caller ever.
Man. He called Feinbaum and said, you know them trees that got poison? That was, and then he named the type of poison that he used and everything. Yeah. If I remember that right. Yeah.
They have a statue before long.
That's the thing about college football. I don't know what it is about college football that makes us love it that much. And I mean,
it was your Georgia boys or Alabama people.
Yeah. It was
very seldom. I think it's going to change, man. I don't think it'll be the same 20 years from now.
I agree with that.
Hey, I'm losing every year. This year I've lost probably 5%.
Yep.
Next year, I hope I don't lose 5%. Eventually, I'll get where it's just like pro. I don't even want to hear nothing about pro football.
Yeah, I don't even care about the Falcons.
I could care less
about
pro.
If it wasn't for fantasy, it would die.
Well,
and gambling.
Yeah, you're talking about pro football.
Well, your Northerners love.
They do.
I mean, I work with a bunch of Northerners, and they talk about is
they
pro
spend
football.
Their Sunday. They
all talking about pro football. I was like, man, I don't even know. The only thing I care about is the top two best players that are freshmen in college pro football come from Georgia, or in the top 10, two of them are from UGA. Rookies,
yeah, you're right. Yeah, a couple of them from Florida State this year.
Old Ladd and
Brock
Bowers. Yeah, I don't know what it is about college football that gets in you like
that. It's like
that,
regional
though.
Pride.
Maybe. Maybe
for
you.
Well, you're an alumni.
Yeah. But I loved it before. That's the reason I went to Florida State.
Yeah.
It's because I love Florida State football.
Well, you see, like, the schools that have good football years, enrollment in Craig, everything.
Everybody will spend
everything winter. Follows the football program, right? I mean, that tide raises all ships in that for that university.
Even get people to stand out there and play an instrument for them.
All kind of things.
Well, that's a good point.
I mean, think about it. Who else is going to stand out there and learn how to play a flute just for the football player?
That's true. You get that with football. You don't get it with the other collegiate sports. Like, are there bands at the...
No. Who's going to play for baseball?
Nobody.
You going to get 12 cute girls to play for baseball teams?
You get like two of them and they're the bat girls. They run back and forth.
No, they're going to play for the studs on the football field.
Yeah. Well, you're right. So, although the baseball studs get paid, son. win. If they get, I mean,
well, they do. They, you know,
look at Paul. Was it Skeens? Is that how you say his last name?
Yeah, he's dating. What's the girl?
Livy Dunn.
There you go.
From LSU. He was the number one pick out of LSU. Gets some, you know, whatever, you know, massive contract. Gets the prettiest girl on campus, and next thing you know, he's, you know, rookie of the year. Did he win that this year?
I think he won rookie of the year.
Yeah, all star. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what it is about college football that makes us love it, man. But we do. Obviously, we're sitting here talking about it on a, you know, we won't say what day of the week, maybe. But anyway, let's any final thoughts on the SEC championship game,
man,
like as
Texas,
it relates to the future?
Texas had every opportunity to win that game.
Yeah,
I mean, I really
remind me. I forgot. Seriously, what was the score at halftime? Was it
6-3?
Okay,
but they were inside Georgia territory 7 out of 10 drives.
Oh yeah, and it was
in the first half,
200 and something yards to 50 something yards.
But the red zone defense, man, and him throwing key picks.
Well, you that's
and like, stopping the run.
Things get faster down the red zone. And Georgia was determined to stop the run game.
Yep.
And they did it. And now they let that golden kid number two, anyway, 180 yards receiving or something. But they got in that red zone and they locked it down.
Did you see the Ewers talent? Like, I hadn't paid much attention to him, but when you watch that game, you're like, okay, that's a different level of throwing the football.
Yeah, he on some
occasions, but then he will have
a mental lapse from time to time.
And I think his O line. I don't think Texas's O line's all that good.
Texas ain't playing nobody but Georgia, really.
That's true. No top 25 wins this year.
No, Texas has got
but
a ton of money.
They're good,
Texas.
Though, man. Defensively, they're as big and as fast as anybody you're going to see.
They are, and they could go all the way, but I don't see it happening. It would shock me if Clemson don't thump them.
I was really surprised.
I would hate to see them again.
I was, I mean, I was really surprised.
Same way you did the first two.
You didn't see Arch Moore in that game. He came in twice. One time, they snapped it through his legs on purpose, like a little trick play. Where it worked, but I mean, it wasn't like it was, but they didn't use him at outside of a decoy. Then he runs the first play in overtime, gets, I don't know, 5-6 yards, something like that. You didn't see him any other time.
I'm going to tell you, you see
after Arch. Haynes King had given the Dogs all the trouble that he gave them.
He ain't Haynes King.
So maybe he gets 90 yards rushing.
Yeah, but you see Arch with a t-shirt on. He gonna get dude. He gonna get folded up like a
cheap
suit.
That's what I'm saying.
He better stay where he's behind them
hogs.
He's
a speed guy.
He better stay back there because he looks like a little baby.
The one that bothers me in the matchup I don't want to see is Notre Dame's quarterback.
Well, you're probably gonna get it.
I know.
Yeah, you know how many rushing touchdowns he has this
14.
Year? 14 rushing touchdowns.
Yes,
and he was really good at Wake Forest in that system, and we've kind of forgotten about him since he's been at Notre Dame. I have, and. I mean, he is.
Is it Riley Leonard?
Yeah.
He was at Duke, right?
Maybe so. I'm thinking of the quarterback
before.
He was at
Duke with Elka.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the quarterback before him at Notre Dame.
Well, it's the Chief
Hartman.
I watched the Oklahoma-Alabama game last night on that 12-minute deal they do with the highlights.
Yeah, SEC in 60 or something like that.
So the quarterback, I mean, I think he ran for 170 yards, and he was now going to Auburn, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing Pavia did. It's the same thing that Haynes King does. It's a quarterback run game that apparently nobody can stop.
We know we have some downloads in Athens. We don't know who that might be.
Yeah.
We might be getting some of that in the Sugar Bowl.
I'd say bring it on.
That brings up a good point because at halftime of the SEC championship game, when Carson Beck goes down, you know, at first it was kind of like, maybe he's just out for this, you know, final, you know, whatever. But then when he didn't come back out and warm up.
So being in the stadium – when all that, because you couldn't really get a lot of service. Everybody was trying to figure out what was going on. So everybody's using all the Wi-Fi. Like it's loaded. And so you couldn't really figure out what was happening or what was going on. Well, you see him come out. He's not where you see Beck come out, no helmet, arm dangling. It's kind of the same. Then they go to warm up and he's just standing there. I'm like, he can't even pick up his arm. He ain't touched a football. Nobody even has it. Like there's nobody like standing beside him with his helmet, you know. Well, then you realize that Gunner's fixing to go in. Then people start getting, like, oh, Gunner's going in, whatever. Well, then he comes out and takes y'all. That stadium was electric. For that drive that Gunner let us down to score, it was insane. It was, you felt like you were in Athens.
Yeah.
Gunner, old stud, man. So it no free safety song.
I don't think it's any coincidence that the run game opened up for the backs.
Well, because they had to account for him, right?
And I think college football, I think we're seeing with undersized players and, you know, getting ready for the spread passing game, that this might be the new what you're looking for.
Well, it's not just in college football. The NFL model has gone that way as well. I mean, that's why Jalen Milroe might be a first-round draft pick, and it's not because of his arm.
I don't think it's sustainable at the NFL level, though.
But you got
Jalen Hurts is doing fine.
Hurts, Lamar Jackson. I mean, Lamar Jackson's probably MVP this year.
Again.
Is he running much anymore, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Todd Monken's got that. Speaking of Todd Monken, saw him at the SEC Championship. Shook his hand. That was pretty cool.
Nice.
He was wearing Georgia hat. I was
did
like,
he cuss
on.
At you?
No, he was. He
like, he did it under his breath later.
Probably, yeah.
It's every other word.
He was. He was just like out amongst the commoners, like awesome. Just. And I said, Katie, that's Todd Monken. And she said, no, it's not. I said, yeah, it is. So I walked by and I said, what's up, Coach? And he just took out his hand and shook my hand, and we kept going. And he kept going.
He's gonna be a head coach next year, I guarantee you.
But yeah, it was cool to see him there with. With the Georgia hat on.
Yeah. But my takeaway from the game was that them dogs will fight. They got away with one. Like, yeah. I feel like they, you know, kind of – they earned it, plus Texas didn't help themselves. Eight penalties for 80 yards in the first half. Every time they were third and three, it turned into third and 13.
Oh, yeah.
They just shot themselves in the foot. Maybe the moment was too big. That happens.
Well, that might go back to the experience. I know Sarkisian's coached in big games – as well, but I mean, he doesn't have that level of experience that, I mean, nobody does in the playoff except for maybe Dabo.
And maybe Ewers just ain't that dude that's gonna take it. Like, maybe he's not an alpha.
You know, David Pollack said on his podcast this week, he talked about the kind of quarterback he liked to play for and how Ewers and he didn't name Ewers, but he said other quarterbacks in the playoff. But Carson Beck is not the guy that's gonna get in there and fire you. He's even keel, which there's value in that, right? But even the quarterbacks that are like him, even the Tom Brady's, right, of the world, Tom Brady get on you now. And
he's a psychopath,
right? But like, there might be a little bit of something to that. I don't watch football. Like, there may be a little bit of something to that whole thing with Carson Beck
Carson
bit.
Flatline, man.
Brian Wentz been saying this all year. Yeah,
Carson Flatline. He. Lord knows.
He needs some uppers or something.
I pity his poor girlfriend. I guarantee you he ain't getting excited for nothing.
Is Burrow like that a little bit?
I think Burrow just loves football.
Yeah.
I mean, Gunner loves football. He's just a football player, right?
Who was it Gunner hit in high school that played for Georgia? I forgot. I was listening to it on a
It was Malachi Starks.
Yeah, Malachi said, I ain't even want to play football no more after Gunner hit me. And he was free safety. So, like, this ain't going to be – you about to see somebody that ain't scared to take a lick, that isn't going to stand – hey, this is, in my opinion, being a football player, Bobo's M.O. You know, if we got a weak box, we're going to run it. If we don't got a strong box, we're going to play little dump passes. And every now and again, we're going to throw it down the field. You ain't going to get that with – you. And so, with Carson, he would just stand there. And if they're going to do a little dump pass, whichever one you want to call it, you know, he would if his person he's throwing it to, which is normally a back or maybe a tight end or receiver, was, you know, blocked, that he just eat it. You know, interception, run a little bit, maybe a yard. You ain't gonna get that with Gunner. If Bobo keeps the same game plan, yeah, guard my tailback or, you know, my back. I'll run it and take the lick.
You remember when Gunner came to Thomas Field? Did you go to the game?
It was Thanksgiving week. We watched it on TV at the beach.
I went to the game. He got sacked like 9 times.
Yeah, that was a different level. He didn't have the other dudes around him. He was the best dude on the field, but the other, Bill Bice said he was the best, but the next 21 were on Thomasville High State.
Yeah.
The only issue I'm worried about is getting hurt.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Who's next?
Who's next after Gunner? Because he's the type of quarterback that's going to probably get hurt.
Yeah.
Well, who's the freshman? Wasn't there a freshman?
Puglisi's the freshman. You've got Rashada, who transferred in last year. There was talk on the boards this week. You know, does Beck dress out for a situation where Gunner's helmet comes off
and he's got to hand the ball off?
He's got to hand off because he's just
because he can change the protection.
He can at least get you in the right play.
That's what Gunner's probably not as good at.
Now, but he's been around it though, and he's been around football. His dad's a football coach. He's a he's a X's and O's guy.
Coach Bobo disciple.
Yeah, he's a he's a follower. I do think 3 weeks to prepare with a guy like that that can probably just absorb it all.
Well, Georgia's going to go as far as the defense is going to take us.
Oh, for sure. That's just what it's going
to
be.
We're going to have to hold teams to 17, 20, and eke it out, man. I think that's what it's going
to
be.
Which is why the matchup, I know that the path to the national championship game is the clearest for Georgia, but the matchup, if it is against Notre Dame, is not a great matchup because you've got a mobile quarterback, and we've seen the blueprint to move the ball on Georgia's defense.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, those that group of linebackers in that game at Texas, that's an impressive, like, you don't see four dudes standing around on other teams that look like that.
No.
That is a group of dudes.
You all, I've said it several times on here, Georgia, this Georgia team has played to its opponent more than any other Georgia team we've ever seen, that I've ever seen. It's playoff time. And Kirby, you know, Georgia Tech, they probably say, ah, Georgia Tech, you know, you get a little downturn. You see, you're in the playoff. It's win or go home.
Well, you know, Christian Miller's back.
He's like pretty much everybody's
healthy. So he missed the Tech game. Jordan Hall is back from his double surgery.
Yeah,
he played his best game against Texas. So I think things are on the
line. The offensive line's the most health. They say the most healthy it's been since, you know, like week three.
Here's what we're going to find out in the playoff. We're going to find out. We're going to. I don't know that you'll fully settle the argument, but we're going to find out if the SEC was full of a bunch of really good teams that nobody could pull away from the other one, or if the SEC was full of a bunch of
studs,
above average teams that nobody could pull away from.
Yeah.
We're going to find out because Georgia's not going to have to play those guys again. They're on the other side of the bracket.
Yeah.
And those guys are going to get, I mean, you're going to have Tennessee. We're going to put them up against Ohio State. Right, we're going to have Texas.
Which I think is a terrible matchup for Ohio State, by the way.
It might be.
Terrible.
But we're going to find out about Texas. We're going to put them up against Clemson, which you would be the probably second best team they've played this year.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, behind Georgia. We know Georgia's better than Clemson if we believe in head-to-heads, right? Because we saw that one. But we're going to find out whether or not the SEC is far and away the best conference, or if this year it was full of a bunch of teams that were all about the same.
I think Clemson's going to have a lot of trouble up front on offense.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of trouble.
They're going to have to use the Georgia game plan.
They're going to have to use the South Carolina game plan and get rid of the ball in 2 seconds.
I think Clemson's going to play good defense in that game.
They are.
And I think they're going to be able to stop Texas's running game.
Probably.
And so you might see a low-scoring game there.
I think you're going to see some explosive negative plays, though.
Well, it's time for the trickery.
That's true. You take your number one starter and you let him close out the game, whatever it takes.
File K, you know, file C in the back.
Yeah.
Pull it out, dust it off.
But if you can't block, you can't do none of that.
No.
I mean, that front. Mm.
It's starting this week. It's going to be
special teams, man.
It's going to be a great weekend.
Well, Clemson's special teams hasn't been great until they needed them to be in the ACC championship game. And
what
they were.
Kick.
But, yeah.
Golly.
Yeah.
I mean, how amazing is it if you can cross 50, you can score? I mean, that's you know what I'm saying?
And Dabo will kick it. Like most,
for a poor team, if you can do that, that adds up.
Most schools these days don't want to kick the 49-yard field goal. They want to go for 4th and 5.
You can do it, and you got a good defense, you can win games with that.
Yeah. Clemson will do that. I don't know if Clemson's got what it takes this year.
They're going to have to run Kalibnik a lot. In my opinion.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Moffa's hurt. The backup's hurt.
Running backs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Something about that matchup, though. I just like Clemson in the game. I don't know why.
Clemson's going home. He's from Austin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Texas didn't want him.
Wow. So, revenge game.
Mm. Him and the safety, Taff, for Texas, they played against each other in the state championship, or they're on the same team.
Well, somebody was at Clemson and is at Texas now.
No, that's the safety that will take your absolute gourd off.
Well, he's the one that was running 100 miles an hour.
The one that literally knocked Gunner out of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. He had several plays where he was flying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I commented on that during the game. Like, that dude.
He was a heat seeking missile that night. He played really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to this weekend. It's going to be.
Is it 10.5? The Texas game?
Yeah. That's 10.5 points. That seems like a lot.
That place is going to be rocking.
They've got it at 12 on ESPN, right?
It may be up to that now.
It's at 12 now.
I really don't think the running back news is good for Clemson. Because Maffa is needed.
Yeah.
We'll see what that game looks like. I mean, we'll find out at 4 o'clock on Saturday on TNT, by the way.
How is that?
Okay. You have that on your YouTube channel, Dustin, that I'm stealing?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So why is TNT covering games? Can somebody explain that to me?
I don't know.
Because they paid the money, baby.
They're owned by one of the – aren't they owned by one of the networks?
Are they owned by ESPN?
Turner owned
them. I thought that
– Turner used to. I think he sold it.
I thought that the whole playoff – was ESPN, or is it just from the quarter zone?
It's the last few.
Okay,
these are bowl.
These aren't bowl games.
Well,
you got two TNT games, you got two ABC ESPN games, so it's got to be the ABC ESPN only got part of the contract for the quarterfinals.
The ACC and the SEC have channels that are sponsored by ESPN. And how are they not on there? I don't know,
man. Maybe Fox owns TNT.
Yeah, but then you'd think they'd have Ohio State on there.
Yeah. That's a good point. I don't know.
You mean you see TNT like during the basketball.
Right.
Maybe they have some connection that way.
Maybe Disney owns them too.
Who knows? They own everything.
Did you see where if you plug in Ohio Stadium on Apple Maps, it comes up as Neyland North?
No.
I don't know how they got that somebody, done.
Tennessee's fan base, man.
To me. To me, that is you ask about matchups, right? That is the Ohio State was praying to not get Tennessee.
Absolutely, they're going to do what Michigan did better.
I mean, they
can stop the run, they can run the ball. Right,
if they get beat by Tennessee, fired. Ryan Day going on Sunday.
Yeah, Ryan Day will be taking like the
they're acting like they should
Patriots job or something.
The national media is acting like Ohio State should beat Tennessee. It's an afterthought. They're already talking about Oregon. And I'm like, no. You don't understand what's coming to town.
This is the same thing we were saying a minute ago, though. We're going to find out.
Oh, yeah, we're going to find out if they're pretenders or not.
Yeah.
Well, they've been struggling on their offensive line all year, and they're finna struggle real bad.
Tennessee going to thump them.
I don't know if Tennessee can score in that game.
They had some trouble scoring. It's going to be one of the – it might be a 17-14 game or something.
They average 60 points a game in their non-conference, 62 or something like that. That goes down to 25 in conference play. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Are they real or are they not?
They're real good at running the ball.
I know that. Dylan Sampson can run it.
But Ohio State
can stop the run, too.
They had a little bit of an explosion against Vandy, where they scored 36. And got down in that game, what, was it 13?
They were down early 10-0.
10-0, yeah.
What's the biggest mismatch in the playoff? Is it Tennessee, Ohio State? Is it Clemson, Texas? I mean, that's your biggest spread right there. You're 12 versus 5. And, in basketball.
Penn State, SMU.
You think so? Mm-hmm.
I was going to say Notre Dame, Indiana.
I was going to say Notre Dame, Indiana, too. I mean, Indiana's getting on in. And they rightfully, but they belong in the playoff. And they got one loss, so they belong in there. But I don't know that they're on the same level as Notre Dame. Now I'm the guy that said Notre Dame can't get in if you got a loss to Northern Illinois.
Is Notre Dame on the same level as Ohio State?
No.
They don't have it out wide. They don't have Jeremiah Smith.
I mean, I think Indiana played well against Ohio State outside of special teams. Now, you can't just subtract special teams because that is part of it.
They couldn't block either.
Well, but the game was close besides the two special teams touchdowns they gave up.
If you watched it, it was complete domination.
The final score.
Like people in the backfield.
Yeah, but I mean the score.
I don't know the Notre Dame, or excuse me, the Indiana shine that they had and the chip they had going into the Ohio State game, a little different than what they've got going in now.
I mean, that game was 35-18.
They scored right at the end.
38-15.
Yeah, and they scored at the end and went for two. They scored on the first drive, and after that, it was three and out city.
But now, Notre Dame did get beat by Northern Illinois at home. Yeah, so,
Maybe college football as a whole this year is nobody's great, and it's
I think that's what it is.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
The national championship's the most open, and not because it's a 12-team playoff. The most open it's ever been because there's more parity.
Well, like we talked about, 2019 LSU would not have a 4-score game in this playoff.
No.
Yeah,
and 20 Bama. Well, probably 21 Georgia.
Yeah.
21 Georgia for sure. I don't know about 20 Bama, maybe.
Dude, I'm thinking 20 Bama might those two teams, 19 LSU and 20 Bama, they were good. The COVID year with Waddle and Devonta Smith.
Yeah. Mac Jones.
They were on fire. Yeah.
Going back to that SMU Penn State game, let me ask this question. Is Penn State the same? Are they equivalent to Clemson or are they better?
Better.
You think so?
You think Penn State's better than Clemson? Mm-hmm. I think Clemson's got some holes. I mean, they lost 3 games.
Yeah.
I mean,
Penn State doesn't have a big win this year.
No. I think it's culture.
They got some valued efforts, I guess.
It's culture, though.
They're getting
the same way with Georgia. I mean, Penn State has that's what I look at between the reason I say SMU and Penn State is the mismatch game. It's SMU don't have a history of winning. You know what I'm saying? Their first time to the show, really. So Penn State's been around. I mean, you know, that's you got a lot to fight for. Not saying that somebody, I mean, it's just same way with Georgia. You lose your starting quarterback. You're against a great team at halftime, and then your culture of winning kicks in, and you win the ball game. Well, I think that's my opinion on Penn State and SMU.
Yeah, but Penn State hadn't won many big games.
They've been there so many times. They haven't won them. I think SMU and Arizona State – and Clemson, like they are not as talented. Maybe Clemson is, but they're not as good of a team as some of these other teams. But I think they have something that these other teams don't have, and that is a we want to prove it mentality. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe Penn State's got that because they haven't proven it.
Yeah. You're going to have somewhere in this, maybe it's this round, maybe it's next round, you're going to have that March Madness happen in December.
Something, I would love to see.
Something's going to happen that's not supposed to happen.
Two underdogs are going to win this weekend.
I would love to see SMU win it. I mean, I just...
And see, I would too, but I don't think they can win at all. I don't think
so. No, they can't. I don't think so.
They can't put together four games.
They're too small.
I don't know that it's that. I just don't think they have the overall team depth. They don't have the culture of winning. They don't have the baseline that some of these other teams have.
If you watched them play Clemson the other night, they bring six almost every play. They blitz. It's blitz.
Well,
they have to. Mm-hmm. And so somebody's going to block it up and take advantage.
By the time they get, I mean, that's why they're not going to go all the way.
Yeah,
but Clemson, they could absolutely beat Penn State that way.
I think a lot of these teams, any of these teams can win one game in the playoff.
Yeah, right? And that's still big.
Any 12 of them can win one game in the playoff.
To go from SMU, from where they were to, you know.
The whole mentality there, like them joining the conference and saying, we don't need your money, we're going to do it, and then not only joining the conference, but then going undefeated in conference play up until, and then going, say what you want to about the way that game almost got away from SMU, but they almost won the game as well against what has been the best team in the conference, one of the best teams in the country, not the last 2 or 3 years, but the last 10 years.
Right. Mm-hmm. But back to what Brian was saying. What ultimately prevailed in that ACC championship game? The team that had been there, the coach that had been there, is the one that prevailed.
Yeah.
They just know how to get it done.
I put SMU Arizona in the same bucket as TCU when they went to Natty.
But TCU won that game against Michigan that year. They did win a game.
But then when they got into playing a real ball club, they got crushed.
Well, do you know what happened to both teams that beat Georgia this year?
They lost the next week.
Yeah, because it took all the
everything they had, and then it complete went flat.
Because they probably put all the resources like
against teams
about
they
that.
Should not have given.
And then you celebrate, and then you celebrate mentally.
Yeah,
and then somebody else comes back, punches you right in the chin.
What's going to be interesting is all these teams have had 10 plus days to prepare. The bye week guys would have 20 something days to prepare. It's a long time.
Really a month.
For these coaches to get a game plan ready. I mean, you know, you've seen Kirby show something to Texas two different times they had not seen before defensively. What do you think these teams are going to do? These coaches get paid millions and millions of dollars. What can they come up with in 10 days, 25 days, you know, to get ready for a game?
And you're going to see, too, the team with the playmaker, they're about to empty the bag. Like, oh, 44 is about to get all he can handle.
Yeah, Scatabo's going to get, like, 50 touches.
Right, and as soon as you
get – it's the Haynes King effect.
As soon as you get to the next round, I mean, Genty's going to tote it 40 times.
Hey, speaking of which, does that guy scare you?
Yes.
No better than we tackle?
Yes, I like, think I was hoping if we lost, I did not – if we lost SC Championship, I did not want to be in the bracket that had to go through. Now, that's who we would have in the semifinal.
So I watched his little quick highlight the other night, and I like what they do, man. Their formations and, like
– he's a dude.
He was doing it to everybody, Oregon, Washington State. It didn't matter. They can't tackle him.
Yeah, he's a dude.
Until my man down turns his helmet sideways.
I've seen some lesser backs.
I don't care who you are. If old Dan put that wood on you, son, you going to the house.
Yeah, that'll be a matchup to watch.
He'd be laying there on the ground.
His balance is tremendous.
Hollering for his mama.
What's the best game? Clemson, Texas, Tennessee, Ohio State, SMU, Penn State, or Indiana, Notre Dame?
Tennessee, Ohio State.
Absolutely. Tennessee's going to show up fan-wise. It's cold. Ohio State's been wanting the SEC to come north for 20 years.
They're about to get
in the winter. Here we come.
You know, this. I didn't realize this, and it's going to be interesting to watch these games. The NCAA or whoever, college football playoff, they control, like, the atmosphere. Like, the it's home field.
Oh, right.
But, like, the music playing and, like, all that stuff is controlled by not the local schools.
So you're going to hear some Rocky Top?
Well, I don't know if you'll hear Rocky Top, but, like, they're going to have, like, their intro into the game, like, their music. Like, you see it at a neutral site game. Like, you would see the SEC championship or whatever. So, yeah, they're playing at home, and they're going to have the vast majority of their fans. You're going to have 90%. It's going to be 90% Ohio State, 10% Tennessee.
I don't know. I hear it's
now, I'm saying allotted to those teams. Now, whether they bought them on the open market, who knows? But it's not going to be your normal atmosphere, I don't think.
Yeah,
it'll be a lot of it, but not the whole thing.
I heard they got the LEDs going.
Queued up.
Yes, sir.
I think we're going to see some upsets in the first round, just like you said. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see four upsets. I mean, I think all of these teams are pretty evenly matched. I mean, you are going to give the edge to Texas over Clemson because of Texas's record. And, you know, their two losses on the year were – and they're at home. Their two losses on the year were to Georgia, and they played Georgia close, you know, especially the second time. But, I mean, would it surprise you at all if Clemson covers the – it's now 12 points?
No.
Would it surprise you at all if SMU covers the 8.5? I mean, if Penn State wins 24-17, would that surprise you?
No,
at this point, I mean, that's what it's supposed to be.
Sometimes, though, when you're within seven, you're still so far from winning. You know what I mean? Like, you got to go beat these teams. Like, you got to – like we saw Tech, you still got to beat them. Like, there's another level. Like, you almost did it, but you didn't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean. It just,
like, for Bama, for years, they escaped every time you had them against the ropes. They wiggle out. They beat you.
Until they don't.
Until they don't.
And that eventually happens. I mean, I think until they don't, the Cinderella wins the game. I mean, what was it? Was it Butler that year that almost won the national championship in basketball? Yeah. Same thing you're saying. I mean, they made it all the way through the bracket, and then they almost – was it Duke?
Maybe. I don't know.
I think it was Butler and Duke in the national championship game, and Duke wins by like three. Mm-hmm. Same thing what you're saying. Like, you almost beat Duke in basketball, but you didn't.
Yeah. There's going to be some good games. There's going to be – every fan base will be on pins and needles. I don't see any blowouts.
I think there will be.
There'll be a blowout, you think?
Absolutely.
In the first round?
Think about the SEC championship game all these years. How many close games have there been? More often than not, it's lopsided.
None have gone to – now, but you've never had it where these types of games have had this time to prepare.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of time to prepare.
But the unfamiliarity in these games, somebody's going to throw haymakers and somebody's going to throw left
hooks.
That's fair. And one's going to catch the other one.
That's fair.
I think.
No, I don't know that any of these teams have ever played each other.
Because they don't know each other.
Indiana, Notre Dame, they ever played each other before?
Probably.
1991.
So when I say before, like in the last 10 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
SMU, Penn State, certainly not. Tennessee, Ohio State, maybe in a bowl game at some point. And then Clemson, Texas, I don't know.
There's a lot of orange in that stadium.
Oh, boy. I think there's probably going to be some lopsided wins in there. And it could be the underdog.
I hope it is.
I hope it is, too.
Hey, send it out there so my boy KJ can show y'all what it's all about.
Well, let's go ahead and pick them then. Let's do a little bit of a review right now. Here's how things stand. Still in first place statistically, Brian Wynn, 21-17 on the season. In second place, Brian Howell, 28-31. Kyle Shaver, you're 27-32. And I'm bringing up the rear thanks to my six straight weeks of picking Florida State, 24-35. So let's pick these four games. Let's start with the first game, which is actually, if you're listening to this on the radio on Saturday morning, this game will be over because this game's being played Friday night at 8 p.m. Let's pick Indiana as a 7-point underdog versus Notre Dame.
I'll take Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
7 points. Give me Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame's a pretty good team. You know, they do have that win over Texas A&M to start the season that everybody kind of we said then we're like, is Notre Dame or Texas A&M really any good? And then here we are.
I heard somebody on the radio say is what they may lack on top-end elite talent, they're the best tackling team in the country. The most sound, best tackling team out there.
And you can say what you want to about who they played this year. Same thing for Indiana. But both teams, both Indiana and Notre Dame, have like a 27-point margin of victory. Mm-hmm. I think Indiana's is the highest in the playoff, and Notre Dame's is the second.
Well, for Notre Dame to beat Army and Navy like they did shows me something.
All right. I think I know who Brian Wynn's going to pick on this one. SMU as an 8.5-point underdog at Penn State. This one is Saturday at noon at Penn State. Brian Wynn?
I think Penn State will win, but I doubt they cover.
Okay. I'm sorry, 8.5.
Eight and a half. Yeah, I'll take Penn State. I think I was impressed with their loss in the championship.
Penn State.
Don't ask me first now, just because everybody else is going to be cheating.
No, I'm going with SMU. I think SMU will cover the 8.5. I wouldn't be surprised if they won outright. If they do win, though, it'll be the 21-20 game winning field goal type score. Right? They're not going to, if anybody blows anybody out, it'll be Penn State blowing SMU out, not the other way around. All right. Let's move on to the afternoon game on Saturday, 4 p.m. on TNT. Kyle's befuddled by that. Why we have to watch it on that channel. TNT. Is Charles Barkley going to be on
there? I hope they're going to have Charles Barkley.
They're going to have Lonesome Doug going to play right after. TNT.
I'll be watching too, boy.
Yes, sir.
Texas is a 12-point favorite in this one. This is the 5 versus 12. This is in basketball. You always pick the 12 in your bracket on this one. Clemson coming in with that last-second field goal in the ACC championship game. Who you got? 12 points.
I'll take Clemson. I don't think they'll win. It'll be closer than 12. I think they've got a championship mentality. They know how to win.
Is that pick for your dad?
No. I think Brian's going to pick Texas, and I need a game.
I'm actually going to take Clemson. It's too many points.
Golly.
It's too many points.
Brian Wynn.
What's the spread?
12 points. Texas favored by 12.
I think Texas will win, but they won't cover the spread.
All right, it's unanimous. I'm actually taking Clemson to win the game. I'm calling for the upset on this one. All right, the final game, that's the night game, 8 p.m. on ESPN, ABC on Saturday. Tennessee goes to Columbus as a 7.5-point underdog. Tennessee, Ohio State, who you got?
If I were a betting man, I'd put a lot of money on this game, Tennessee. I don't think it bodes well for Ohio State.
Rocky's up.
Tennessee, baby. Yes, sir. I'm going to thump them.
This is where I'm going to catch up with y'all.
We're going cold. Tennessee? Cold in Tennessee?
Right. Yeah. Hey, they ain't no different.
Every time I go there, I ain't got enough jacket.
That's true. Tennessee and Ohio are right next to me.
I went in Nashville last year and about froze to death. It was zero.
I'm going to have to get me a Bull and Briar jacket before we go to Nashville this
year. Yeah,
I
know a guy with a warehouse full.
Yeah, I'm taking Ohio State in this one, at least to cover.
Yeah.
I think they'll win by more than 7.5.
Really?
Yeah. I just – maybe I haven't watched enough Tennessee or Ohio State this year. But going back to the championship mentality, going back to the teams that have been there before, Tennessee ain't been there.
No.
I mean, at least Ohio State and Ryan Day have been in these big games many, many times.
Wait, but you've seen Tennessee go into Tuscaloosa and take care of business.
Yeah.
It was in Tuscaloosa.
They've done it twice.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, South Carolina almost did that. You know,
I'm saying against Nick Saban.
Oh,
Josh Heupel went in
last year,
2 years ago.
Yeah,
22. You'd have thought that's when they remember they came out of the Bama game, had beat Bama at Bama, wasn't it? Or was that at Tennessee?
I thought that was at Tennessee. I thought last year was where'd they play this year?
In Tennessee this year, right?
I don't know. Maybe they
beat them in Knoxville. Like Tennessee beat Bama in Knoxville. The year that Tennessee's offense was so good, was that 2 years ago?
That was 22 when they came into Athens and they were ranked number one in the playoff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that game was in, I don't know. We'll see.
Either way, you've seen them beat teams. Tennessee wants to be a blue blood.
They ain't what Ohio State wants to see defensively.
No. That I think it's a bad matchup offensively for Ohio State.
Yeah.
But the same can be said.
Well,
the other way around.
Quarterback's not that great.
Tennessee's offense is going to win the game for sure.
You got to get a lot out of Nico. He's going to have to play like he hadn't played this year.
I don't know, man.
I see like a 17-14 game.
If you look at the rosters, though, I mean, I know Tennessee's talented, but Ohio State recruits as well as anybody in the country not named Georgia or Alabama year in and year out. Mm-hmm. And if somebody else was coaching Ohio State, just if Urban Meyer was coaching Ohio State, who would you be taking in this game? Like I don't trust Ohio State because of Ryan Day.
Yeah.
But athletically, I think Ohio State, look at their roster.
Yeah.
Boy, y'all want to see chaos in the portal that Ryan Day get fired.
Yeah. For sure.
Speaking of chaos in the portal, we've got a couple of minutes, not long, but we know how Brian Howell feels about it. Just destroying Georgia's depth.
Oh, yeah, man.
It's destroying everybody's depth. Nobody's got depth anymore.
It's not good for the game.
2 miles long, 1 inch deep.
I don't like it that much.
With the portal?
Yeah. They've got to do something about it.
College football generally needs some continuity.
It's about to fall apart.
This is what I've been telling you all season. Yes. What I think is that you're going to find that the era of the dynasty is about to be over. The Bama dynasty era, the Georgia dynasty that Georgia fans want to see happen, which we're in the middle of it. Like if Georgia wins this one, that'll be 3 and 4 years. But
it won't be 10 or 12 years like Bama's saying.
No, it won't. Because what'll happen is you'll lose key guys in the portal that weren't contributors on this year's team, and then you're starting over next year. And
you don't have to be.
My issue with it is you're putting really big decisions in the 18 to 20-year-old kids.
And a lot of them get bad advice.
And a lot of them are extremely dumb, not only their age, but the best athletes I knew, there's no way they went to Georgia. There's no way they went to Valdosta.
Oh,
the
sure.
Dudes can't even write, man.
They're eating crayons.
They're eating crayons. So yeah. All right, you're going to hand this guy a Hellcat and $1.5 million and be like, come play for me.
Yeah.
And then next year, he's going to be looking for a Hellcat Red Eye and $1.5 million.
He spent that million.
And that's what he's going to get if he's good. But then
their agents aren't even agents.
There's no,
it's like somebody's uncle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they can take whatever percent they want. Yeah. There's no rules around the agents. There's no rules around. I mean,
you're going to hear some awful stories from this.
They're already out there. There are multiple stories of guys that got bad advice.
Look at our speeding problem in Athens. When's the next tragedy going to happen? Yeah. Like, I mean, God forbid. But I'm just saying that's what's going on all over the place.
I think it's sped it up, but it's been going on. these big schools, Alabama, Georgia, I know maybe some of them listening. Y'all listen real quiet. Y'all been cheating forever.
That's been another edition of the Southern Football Report presented by Rivertown Running. You can download this on your favorite podcast app and take it with you. Also listen to it on the Flint Media family of radio stations. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you soon.